Once again, good morning, Calimera says, on a Tuesday, 11 o'clock, always on time for our weekly segment. Manny Frangidakis with 12 points, wealth management, along with Stamatis Astra. Gentlemen, good morning. Yesterday, Dow Jones breaking a record. To explain it all to us in layman's terms will be Manny Frangidakis. Good morning, gentlemen. Calimera.
Good morning, Calimera.
Calimera, Calimera. Record. Από record σε record πάμε. Τι γίνεται, Manny?
That's right. Well, there's not a lot in the way of negative economic data. You know, for all intents and purposes, the economy remains robust. Unemployment remains very low. Inflation continues to be dropping. Although that I will add to that that you know that last mile that we've talked about will be hard to reach for inflation, but you know it is dropping, and the consumer is staying persistent. So, first couple weeks of the year, it's you know, there's a celebration going on, but, you know, I will also say that volume is really down. So volume is, you know, when you're seeing stocks making new highs, how many, you know, companies are actually participating and, you know, volume and breadth are both down. And then you're also actually first time in history where you have the S&P 500 making a new all-time high with the Russell 2000 being in a bear market. So you do have some divergences playing out, but you know, again, the rosy environment, we're talking about a strong economy, we're talking about potential rate cuts this year and lowering the restrictive levels of monetary policy. So right now, this is pretty much as Goldilocks as it gets for stocks.
And what about yields? Are we still around 4%? I mean, what's wrong?
Yields are popping. So yields are popping. You had a pretty hot retail sales number last week, which took some rate cuts off the table. So you're seeing yields pop here, not due to the standpoint that inflation looks like it's ripping in the other direction or in the wrong direction, I should say, but from the standpoint that you're not going to get 8 rate cuts this year. You know, we're in the camp that you could potentially see 3, maybe 4, depending on when they start. But that is what's giving the bond market, you know, a release causing a rise in the yield side of the bond market is the fact that you're pricing out, you know, rate cuts, because the market was way over its skis thinking that they were going to get 8 cuts in 1 year. Hey, so yields right now, you're talking 4.13 as of this morning. You know, they're probably down to 4.11 as of right now. But we do expect that they will mean revert, meaning that you went from 3.9 back above 4%. I think you revert half of the original move, so 10s probably go to 4.5%, but not 5% in the short term.
What's wrong with 4%? We used to have 0.
Right. Apparently the yield doesn't matter, right? So you've gone through the quickest rate hike campaign in history and didn't really make a dent in anything yet.
Manny, I can't help but thinking, you know, short term yesterday, the fact that, you know, I know you've mentioned that it hasn't been political, but the fact that, you know, we've got the Republicans pretty much down to 2, you know, looks like Trump is, you know, the business people are all pro-Trump for the most part. Was yesterday just, you know, listen, Trump's in New Hampshire. It looks like he's going to do well. Short-term, you know, rah-rah-rah type of increase yesterday on the Dow Jones anyway?
It could be, right? So you're seeing some of those trades start to play out. If you had the elections play out today, I think the market would have voted in Trump. And that's what he is the leader right now. The stock market is telling you that it's looking like it's going to be a Trump presidency. You know, and one of the things that, you know, we were discussing was, you know, what does a Trump portfolio look like? One of the old sayings in Wall Street was when the Republicans get elected president by the coal companies. So there is some, you know, things that are, you know, percolating now as if he is going to win their election. And yeah, you could see stocks go up higher. I think that's the less likely trade. I think if, you know, if you were to price in a Trump presidency here, I would imagine it's a curve steepener, you know, for the bond market, and you start to see a much stronger dollar.
Drill, baby, drill. He keeps saying that.
Yeah. Well, we've been proponents on the energy side for a while. They haven't done much in the short term, but you know, owning energy companies when the price of oil is $73 a barrel, you know, that's a pretty good opportunity there. Unless you do have a recession play out. So that's where your two narratives kind of go sideways.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they also give a strong dividend between 2 and 4%.
Of course they do. Yep. Yep, and some of them potentially higher. The likes of Chevron, Exxon, yeah.
If someone wants a yield of 4% with some upside, obviously there's risk. Let's not don't follow our own advice, but that's something you should talk to your advisor about.
Yeah. Then get prepared for, you know, what does your portfolio do in the event? Everyone is expecting that when you get rate cuts, that stocks go off to the races. We don't necessarily share that belief that most likely if you're potentially cutting rates to a significant degree, something is wrong. Getting 2 to 3 rate cuts, not probably a problem. But if you're cutting, you know, more than 4 or 5 times this year, something happened in the economy that was negative. But if you look at actually 99-2000, it's kind of the same exact area we're in today, where you have the large cap companies massively outperforming, and your Russell 2000, your small publicly traded companies underperforming. They're actually in a bear market. The same situation in 99-2000, and then when you started cutting rates, that divergence, which is massive right now, started to narrow, meaning that those smaller companies started to outperform the large companies, and that once those rate cuts occurred, the large cap companies kind of took a dive while the small cap started to rally. You could see that take place this year.
Okay. So that would be interesting. And do we have any other news? I mean, globally, we have the, you know, the problem with the Red Sea over there. You know, that continues always to be like a cloud, a potential mishap.
Yeah, look, that's, you know, anti-globalization. That's making trade more difficult, and it's going to make trade more expensive, right? So if you're importing here in the United States and now you can't get access to the East Coast, not only because of what's going on in the Red Sea, but because of the low water levels in the Panama Canal, now you're going around the Cape of Good Hope, and then you're going up towards Long Beach, LAX, and utilizing those ports and then relying on freight and rail to move product across the continental United States. That's not just a problem here, but that's a problem for most countries around the world. So that is causing price increases. It's important to watch that as we look at inflation, not in the short term, but over the longer term. So that is, you know, one of the key risks that's hanging out there. I think the other key risk that's hanging out there is just the weakness in China. You know, so you could be getting deflationary forces coming out of China, but at the same time, you're not getting the economic growth or engine that powered globalization over the last, you know, call it 10 to 20 years.
That's a problem. I mean, everybody is looking at China. They have a continuous, you know, economic problem the last, you know, 12 months. We do not know how that will play out.
Mm-hmm.
Any predictions about tonight's election? Is the spread going to be enough that will pretty much put an end to the preliminaries, or do you think that the spread is going to be closing?
I think the spread's going to be fairly wide. I'd be shocked if it's a single-digit type of number. I think that if, you know, Nikki Haley was going to have some level of success there, she's going to have a record-breaking number for non-party supporters, more of the independent vote. That's what she's banking on. And she's really looking for momentum heading into South Carolina. I don't think anyone is stipulating or projecting that she's going to be the front runner coming out of New Hampshire. I think it, you know, it's pretty much priced in at this point that it's going to be Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I can never recall this early in the game with, you know, so few candidates in the mix. You know, if you recall, what was
well,
it,
I think the other
ago?
Point is like looking at that base, right? Like mm-hmm. looking at the base of candidates. And I think when you look at Ramaswamy and when you look at DeSantis, they're conceding at this point early because they want to run for the next presidential election.
Yeah, they must.
And they're better off getting in, you know, Trump's favor, forming it and getting a position in his cabinet mm-hmm. to keep their dreams alive.
Yeah.
I think it was very evident to them that in this particular year, they weren't going to even be able to come close to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's really having an incumbent president. That's what it really is.
Yeah.
It's not you have a, like last presidential run with Republicans or with the Democrats. This looks like it's an incumbent president and it's clearing the field quickly.
Don't forget, I think also there's something to be said about the social media impact, right? So you had all these large tech companies that had, you know, removed Trump from their platform. That has actually helped his case, as he hasn't been able to have as much of a public voice as he did in previous years or during his presidency. So what probably was a Democratic initiative is probably backfiring on them.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I think it's tonight it will be a big telling story. And as you have said before, you don't think would make any change about tomorrow's market move, whatever happens tonight.
Look, you could just see a continuation of the rally, right? Mm-hmm. I think that with the Republican presidency, the general thought process there is that you have more conservative economics and a hawkish foreign policy that should promote stocks higher and the dollar higher, at least in the short term.
Very, very good information. Well, you knew we weren't going to end this session, particularly, especially since we've got the AFC and the NFC championships coming around the corner this coming Sunday. I just want to get your take on the Final Four, Manny. What do you think?
Yeah. I think Baltimore takes care of business.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think Baltimore takes care of business over Kansas City. I think Baltimore is a far superior team, more well-rounded. Well-rounded on both sides of the field. Not to take anything away from Andy Reid, but I just think that when you look at their defense, special teams, they are a more formidable opponent than what Kansas City has previously faced in these rounds. My heart tells me Detroit. My head tells me that it's going to be San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Yeah.
But should be an exciting slate of games.
It really should be. Really should be. Manny, great information. Of course, the listening audience knows that each and every Tuesday, sharp at 11 o'clock, you can get an update on what's going on in the market and sharing it with us. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis. And don't forget to give him a call. Simple as 617-212-8343. 617-212-8343. Manny Stamati, any closing comments this morning?
Pretty much sums it up for me. I think we covered a lot of bases.
I think we did.
Yeah, I keep saying the same thing. It's the highest it has ever been. Mm-hmm. Never regret taking a profit.
That's it. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis, each and every Tuesday right here on Grecian Echoes. Gentlemen, have a great afternoon. Thank you. Yes, us.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, sir.